Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 1:33 p.m. on Tuesday, the 4th of March, 2025. Present today are Representatives Allard, Representative Hannon, Representative Johnson, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Stapp, Representative Galvin, Representative Jimmy, and myself, Co-Chair Josephson, and Co-Chair Foster. Also present today are our House Finance Committee staff, Committee Assistant Helen Phillips, Paige Reed, Gardenier, Secretary Bree Wiley, Secretary Leah Frazier. Before we start, please mute your cell phones. In today's meeting, we will hear the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development present its FY26 budget overview. With us today from the department is Commissioner Julie Sandy and Administrative Services Director Hannah Lager. Commissioner and ASD Lager, will you please come forward? Put yourselves on the record and begin your presentations. And we're joined by Representative Bynum as well.
Good afternoon. I appreciate being able to be here today to provide a department overview of our budget for the year, and I'm joined by Hannah Lager, and also in the room we have our Ledge Liaison Extraordinaire, Lizzie Kubitz, as well as Sabrina Javier, who's joining us as well. Thank you. So, for the record, my name is Julie Sandy, and I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. On the screen that you can see our mission and our organization of our department. Our department, our mission is to promote strong communities and a healthy economy and to protect consumers throughout the state of Alaska. We do that through our 7 core divisions and our 8 corporate agencies. So I don't think that this slide is new to most of you, but as you can see, it provides our department structure. We have the 8 divisions in teal and the 7 corporate divisions in the gray boxes. So we have our admin services, broadband, banking and securities, community and regional affairs. We have CBPL, investments, and our division of insurance. But we also have the corporate agencies under us are the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office, who has a new director. Many of you may not have had an opportunity to meet him yet. We have our Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, the Alaska Energy Authority, Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, and we have the Alaska Railroad Corporation in a different box just because that one is outside of the Executive Budget Act, and we try to carve that one out in a way that's a little different than the others.
Co-Chair Sandy, we've been joined by Commissioner Sandy, we've been joined by Co-Chair Schrage. We have a question from Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I was just wondering if, and you may address this later in your presentation, so I can wait if you have something on it. But I was wondering, there's been a lot of talk about the gas line and monies that would come in to either through the Gas Line Development Corporation, potentially through something else, maybe through ADA, I don't know. But I just was hoping that you would address how your department's portion of that or how you would be, impacted if you have the resources to manage the cash flow through the department and so on, just as you progress through your presentation.
Thank you.
All right, slide 4.
Great, thank you. For the record, my name is Hannah Lager. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. So slide 4 gives a big picture view of the department's budget. Our total budget request for 2026 in the operating budget is $240 million, of which just that small blue sliver or the blue stripe, depending on which view we're looking at here, is from the general fund. So I think the biggest takeaway from this chart for me really is the giant yellow slice and the big gray slice of that pie chart. Most of our budget is funded through receipts of some variety, whether those are assessments or fees or, in some cases, regulatory cost charges, earnings on investments. So we are primarily self-funded in the department. We'll talk about that more as we go through each division.
Right. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Joseph, and through the chair, I have a couple of questions on this slide. The first one is, I can see that the amount of funds it would receive, that you projected it would receive in the budget, turned out to be different than you did receive. So I'm looking at 20, let's see here. Let me just make sure I've got this number right. So on the federal, in the management plan versus the actual, there's kind of a big difference there on the federal funds. Could you describe it, what happened with that and why there's such a big discrepancy in what you managed, which to me means what you were foreseeing would come in versus what came in?
Absolutely. Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Galvin, in I believe it was fiscal year 2022, we received a large influx of COVID funds for a wide variety of different projects. One of those appropriations was put in our operating budget, and it was just over $180 million as a multi-year appropriation. Mm-hmm. So we put it in the first year, and then we reverse it out the next year, and then we update to what we're able to spend the next year. And so this is a result of that authority. The roughly $180 million that went into our budget, not all of it was received, and so that federal slice in fiscal year 2024, where it's so much larger, was primarily not received in our budget. We just had the technical authority to receive it if it were to have been received.
Follow-up?
Follow-up.
So that being the story, that it be around COVID funding, then I would expect that your projections for 2025 versus the actuals probably are better aligned?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, yes, absolutely. We were back to kind of our normal level of federal funding in 2025 in the current year and in our fiscal year 2026 budget. You know, of course, there always is some variability in what actual collections are, is that since most of ours are receivable grants, but.
Follow-up?
Follow-up.
So was it your intention then for the proportions of the 2026 governor's budget to closely track then with the 2024 to just kind of bring us back? Is that a good read on that?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, there is very little change in our federal budget between 2025 and 2026.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Stapp?
I'll defer to slide six.
Okay. Representative Allard?
Thank you. And can you tell us what DGF stands for and give us some examples, and you mentioned others. Can you help me out there?
Absolutely.
Thank you, through the chair,
Representative Allard. For us, DGF stands for Designated General Funds. And so these primarily, we're going to see a lot of licensing fee receipts in here. We are going to see the regulatory cost charges of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Council or Commission and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska will come in as Designated General Funds. So it's insurance licensing receipts are also in there. Other funds, we have a mix in that category. They are, we have Alaska Energy Authority receipts would be in there as an example of those are their kind of investment earnings, as well as Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority receipts. We also have a fair amount of duplicated authority. So like my division, and we'll talk about this a little bit on a later slide, but in administrative services, we're funded by what we call interagency authority, and that's considered duplicated authority because the other divisions pay me for my services, right? They pay my division for information technology. So we only count it once, so we have duplicated authority.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Slide five.
Excellent. Thank you. So before we move further into the budget, I just want to touch really quickly on this. We talked about the little blue slice of what Commerce has for general fund, but looking at that in the big picture, this slide will look familiar as it came from the Office of Management and Budgets presentation they had before you this year. Commerce is the smallest consumer of general funds of any department. So it is, you know, a little chunk of ours, but it's an even littler slice of the pie at the statewide level.
Okay. Slide six.
Moving on to slide six, again, we draw the smallest amount from the general fund, but we are a pretty complex agency of that. And so I just wanted to highlight here, we have the most fund sources of any department at 30 in our operating budget, which is a lot of specialty funding sources. When I say we have designated general funds, there are a lot of different little ones that we collect up, as well as 17 different divisions or result delivery units in our budget. So fairly complicated structure, fairly complicated revenue sources. And so I just mention that as a little bit of a preface as we go through this presentation. It is going to feel like I'm talking about a lot of different functions, and that's because we have a lot of different functions in the agency.
Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Justin, through the chair. to our wonderful folks at Commerce, Commissioner Sandy and friends, Ms. Longer. So it'd be really helpful if you have, so you have 30 different fund source costs and you have 17 different RDU components. So it'd be really helpful, instead of looking at just the DGF amount, if you could actually break down in your presentation the fund source codes and what RDU component they actually go to, because it looks like to me that your fund source, your DGF fund source are increasing, but I imagine that's through insurance premium tax, but I would also think that your, say, for example, ASME's receipts that they get from the Fisherman Fund are decreasing, and I have no way of determining that unless you can show me through the chair. So the question is, out of your 30 fund source codes, which ones are showing the largest increase and which ones are showing the largest decrease through the chair?
If you know, you may not.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Staff, I can take a first stab at it, but I may have to provide you some additional information on that. I would say what we show in our presentation primarily is what we're asking to be able to expend from these funding sources. There are many of them where we collect significantly more than what we expend. I would say the largest growth area on our revenue sources probably is insurance premium taxes, as you mentioned, and we don't spend any of those in our budget. There are some of them that get passed through the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to fund workers' compensation, I believe. But we don't expend any of them. We just collect them and put them in the general fund. As far as decreasing, we are seeing declines on the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute's seafood marketing assessment. But again, what we show, what you're going to see in this presentation, is what we're asking to be able to expend from their authority rather than focus on collections. But I am happy to provide a report of actuals for each funding source that we have.
Yeah, follow up, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, follow up.
Yep, Pink Co-Chair, Justin through the chair. So in the event that you collect, okay, so since we're expending receipt authority, what if you over-collect receipt authority above your ability to expend that? What happens to the money through the chair?
Absolutely. Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Staff, I have a future slide that will touch on that. But generally, depending on the program, much of it goes to the general fund. There are some components where we are permitted to carry that forward to the next year. So, for example, professional licensing receipts, where we want those receipts to stay with the program that paid the fee, they go to fill up their revenue bucket for the next year.
So I guess last follow-up and then...
Mm-hmm. Follow-up.
Yep, thank you, Chair Justin, through the chair. So with those RDU components that have the ability to carry forward those DGF funds, are any of them requesting additional UGF funds this year through the chair, if you know?
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, there are a few places where we have general fund requests. One is the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, where we talked about they have carry forward authority for their revenue, but we've seen those revenues decline, and so we are requesting some general fund to backfill marketing there. We also have the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, where their primary activities are funded from regulatory cost charge, but they have carbon work that is a new body of work for them that we are requesting general funds to continue as we are waiting for those receipts to come in for the carbon program, where the revenue isn't quite ready to pay for the program yet.
And I guess last follow-up that spawned this follow-up.
Yep.
Thank you, Coach Justin. So that begs the question then, so those RDU components that are requesting general funds, do they have more than the funds they are requesting in their carryover authority for the next fiscal year already? And if so, why would they request UGF funds if they have enough money carried over from the previous year to pay for the expense through the chair?
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, much of that depends on the reason why we collect the revenue. So when we collect revenue, we have to have statutory or regulatory authority to do so. And so then we typically use it for the reason why it was collected. So like Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, they have authority to collect it for their normal drill oil monitoring work. But that is separate from the carbon program, and they're still working on the regulations for the carbon program. So we keep it with, we keep the revenue with the work that's being provided.
DMV is an exception to that?
To the chair.
I know that's not your agency.
Yes, they are not our agency, so I can't speak to where their revenue goes.
All right. Let's go to slide 7.
Thank you. So as I mentioned, we have a slide discussing our revenue. So if we look back at fiscal year 2024, I talked about we were requesting to spend just about $16 million in fiscal year 2026. In fiscal year 2024, we put over $118 million into the general fund. So in addition to being able to pay for our ongoing operations, we also put a fair amount back in the Treasury. And that's a pretty consistent number year to year.
Okay. We need more of you.
All right.
Slide, we'll go to slide nine.
So I'm going to just briefly touch on the organization and the commissioner's office as well as our marketing initiative. So under the commissioner's office, we have our legislative relations, our boards and commissions, our Office of International Trade, Economic Development. We've got special projects and then Marketing Alaska. We also, I should just call out, she's not with us today, but we have a brand new deputy commissioner at the department, and that's Deputy Commissioner Anna Latham, and we're very excited to have her join our team. The marketing initiative is an initiative that I think I came before many of you in previous sessions to talk about the need for additional marketing of the state of Alaska. When I first started as the commissioner, I understood very clearly the value and the work that ASME is doing for seafood, not just seafood, but by marketing Alaska all over the world, but in particular marketing the industry of seafood, but also ATIA and the valuable work that they do in marketing tourism in Alaska. But just as a brand new commissioner, I was just curious about where the other industries fell and who was marketing Alaska and telling the story of Alaska and with regard to some of those other industries, but also just for investors in Alaska. So, you know, we've got our vision, you know, to create a vision for the future of business in Alaska, not just for investors, but for the next generation of Alaskans to come. And since I was here presenting previously, we put the RFP out and had successfully offered that contract. So we have the BlackRock Group partnering with Poolhouse and 6-7, who are our partners in the marketing initiative for Alaska. We're very excited about that. Where we are today is we've hired our project manager. We've got our contract executed, and we're really pleased to have their talents on board. And then we've been working towards the very first milestone, really, in for us as a deliverable, is the website. So we really identified, you know, if I'm an investor outside of Alaska, I want to be able to easily navigate. Okay, so if I want to invest in an industry in Alaska, who does the economic development arm for Alaska, and how do I get more information on something? We have a lot of data that we're collecting under our Division of Community and Regional Affairs. That's one of the primary functions of what they do. But that data and their mapping, their story maps and other community data online is really an incredible resource, but you wouldn't naturally know how to access that if you were outside of our state or actually even in our state, and we're working on that as well. But so that soft launch of that website will be hopefully at the end of this month, so we're excited about that. We also, one of our early partners was the Alaska Chamber. They really helped us with data collection to understand where we were so that we can measure whether or not we're making gains. And then we're working alongside of stakeholders throughout industries, businesses in Alaska who have some feedback on how to properly market Alaska in ways that the part of the story that they're really hoping that we'll be telling. And the last thing I guess I'll say on that is we'll be in May attending the Select USA, which is the highest visibility foreign direct investment conference in the United States, and that'll be back in Washington, D.C. in May, and we're excited about the opportunity to be there representing Alaska for foreign direct investment.
Okay. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Josephson. Commissioner, thank you for being here on a sunny afternoon as a Ketchikan gal. I know you feel that pull as much as I do to be out there behind those blinds. How much are we spending on I'm not sure if those three are the extent of our external contracts for this communications work and promotion, but how much are we spending on it?
Yeah. Through the Chair, Representative Hannon, we received a capital appropriation for marketing 2 years ago, and it was from business licensing receipts, so where we collected excess in that. The total appropriation was for $5 million. So far, we've allocated, I believe it's $500,000, to the contract with the Alaska Chamber for some in-state marketing, and $3 million to the external contractors for nationwide marketing.
Follow-up.
Thank you. And in letting those RFPs, I assume there's some both deliverables and measures of. Can you give us an example of how we're going to know whether our $3 million for that marketing is successful?
Well, the first milestone for me was just making sure that we had the website that people could easily navigate. So that's one of the very first measurables. But in terms of the things that the data that the Alaska Chamber has been really helping us to survey businesses in Alaska and others, just finding out, you know, jobs is one of them. So creation of jobs, additional businesses coming into Alaska. So those are some of the things that we're looking to help to demonstrate whether our metrics, whether we're performing or not performing. One of the things we said originally was, you know, I'm a business owner, so I don't like to create additional government for the sake of creating government. So one of the reasons that we wanted to be very clear about where we were starting from is to be able to demonstrate success. And if we can't do that, then that's a program in my mind that isn't successful and shouldn't be continued. And so the way we've looked at it with our team is really it's ours to lose. And, you know, hopefully the benefit will be one that our children will be able to see. We really saw it with, you know, like a targeted marketing ad. I think Willow was a great example. So all of a sudden, my kids who are going to school down in the lower 48 are calling me saying, what's up with this Willow project and why would you guys be in favor of it? These are Alaskan kids. Of course, they're going to college outside, but that's the story they're being told, I think, on TikTok or something. And so part of this, too, is having the ability to be able to quickly respond to outside interests that are marketing disinformation in or about Alaska.
And to make the record clear, the last statement was from Commissioner Sandy.
Sorry.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. Commissioner, when you say the website, do you mean a web? Is it off of your department's agency website, or it's a separate website completely on Invest Alaska?
It's a separate website, and it's though it has some intersection with the state of Alaska, and I don't know the technical components of that, and I hope not to have to know that well because I'm the last person who should be able to speak to that. I'm sorry, through the chair, this is Commissioner Sandy.
Follow up.
Could you tell us what the website is? I Googled all three of these advertising firms, and they have lots of information out there, but I didn't see Alaska on any of their my quick hits on them.
Through the chair, this is Commissioner Sandy. My apologies if I wasn't clear. We don't intend to do the soft launch until the end of March of this year, so you shouldn't see anything yet. And but we're modeling the website after other states where we feel like their economic development websites are quite easy to navigate and offer a lot of information that will take you to other resources. I think that one of the things that we noticed in Alaska is sometimes there's duplication of efforts, and that's not something that we intend to do. We are hoping to be an easily navigable site for interested parties who want information about Alaska. Opportunity zones might be an example of that. So where we have some information already through other state agencies, we want to try to figure out what of that information is most needed that consumers would want, and then try to present that in a way that's easy to navigate, following the example of other sites that are doing economic development and have really been able to. I think North Carolina is an example of that, where they had an original grant for $1 million and then through time have really been able to demonstrate growth and the economic value that information on that website has been able to provide for their state.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to slide 11.
Great. Thank you. For the record, this is Hannah Lager. So this is Administrative Services. We manage the administrative operations and systems needed to keep the department running. Our budget is primarily funded by interagency receipts, as I mentioned earlier, so that's where we collect up revenue from other components in the department to pay for the services that they receive. It's a different mix for each of our divisions as they each receive different services from us. In fiscal year 2026, the largest change to our budget overall is the restructuring of our facilities rent components. We previously had just one of those, and we are separating it into two, one that is for owned buildings and one that is for rented facilities. And then we are also adding $150,000 of that interagency receipt authority to make sure that our budget lines up with our projected expenditures.
Slide 12.
Thank you. We are very excited about the continuing work of the Alaska Broadband Office. They are setting up to issue grants and get projects moving in the state. Those grant Advertisements are open now. They are both open through April. Very excited to see the projects that we get out of those. So they are looking to let those grants in fiscal year 2026. That's all from Capital Authority that's already been appropriated. And then those projects will be deployed 26 to 2030. In the 26 budget, there's two changes. One is maintaining the office at the current level. They were previously funded through one-time items, and so we've repeated that and just continuing the funding for the office as they're moving forward. The other item is a small amount of general funds in this component to support their core services bills as those federal funds ramp up. They are collectible and it depends on activities, and so we need a little bit more authority there to make sure that they can pay the bills that are due.
ASD Lager, are these funds, since the inauguration in January, are these funds flowing in a typical way?
Yeah, thank you to the chair. Our broadband equity access and deployment grant, the kind of big bead, the billion-dollar grant program, we think is very minimally impacted from those changes. There's likely to be some slight wording changes, some program tweaks, but not significantly impacted, and we don't think the large grant issuances will be. This component does also access or administer the Digital Equity Award, and we do think that there will be some changes to that program, but that is a much smaller grant program in the $5 million range.
Representative Galvin, then Stapp.
You asked it.
Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Justin. Through the chair. So broadband office has been rolling for at least a couple of years now, I think. We're spending $3.1 million in UGF on these handful of folks. How many of the actual BEAD grants have they been successfully deployed in and above where they would have been deployed naturally through the bid process, through the chair?
Director.
Thank you. Through the chair to Representative Stapp, I just want to clarify they are funded by $3 million of federal funds that roll through the capital budget, and then we collect them as capital improvement project receipts. And so there is $50,000 in general funds that we're requesting, but primarily funded from federal receipts in the capital budget. I would say the grant programs are out there right now. They are advertised. The application periods close in April, so they haven't let any grants yet because this program had some very specific federal requirements for those grant programs. It took some time to get established, and they are out there now.
Follow up. Thank you, Co-Chair Justin, through the chair. So just to be clear, we've had this broadband office for, I think, 2 years, and we haven't deployed any of the B grants thus far. Is that correct, through the chair?
Through the chair, yes. We are in the application process, collecting applications for that program currently.
Thanks.
Representative Galvin, then Allard.
Thank you, through the chair. Would you help us understand the 50,000 UGF? I know that there are other funds that you have available, but my understanding is that some of these costs are not permissible because of the grant specification. So would you explain that to us?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Galvin. So there are a number of different charges that every state agency receives. They receive, you know, bills from the Office of Information Technology. They receive bills from risk management, the kind of baseline of doing services. They also receive bills from our administrative services section and our commissioner's office section that they just are responsible for. We have not historically had a significant amount of federal funding flowing through the department, and so the department doesn't have a federally approved cost allocation plan, because when we've gotten federal funding, we've had a significant $100 million federal program for the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association, but we didn't want to collect any administrative funds on that. The goal was to get that out and lower costs in the healthcare market. So we have not had a federally approved indirect plan, which means that we don't have a set rate that makes sure that they can cover all of their costs. So in the broadband office, we have been limited to charging the de minimis rate, which is 10% on that award. And that 10% has not been sufficient to fully fund their core services and just operational costs for the year. Now, as those federal grants go out and as the activity ramps up and as we have part of what the broadband office does, it seems like a large budget for five positions, and that's because it's actually funding multiple positions in other agencies. We put our grant administrators with the grant administration staff, and broadband is paying for them. We have permitting folks in the Department of Natural Resources that broadband is paying for. And so as those expenditures ramp up, the amount that we're collecting under that de minimis rate or eventually our federally approved plan should be sufficient. But we know that in 26 and likely in 27, it's not going to be quite there yet.
Follow up. So if this were to move from UGF to a three-year, one-time increment, would that make more sense in terms of our planning?
Director.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Galvin, what we've requested it at is a two-year temporary increment at $50,000 each for 26 and 27. So that is the structure in there currently.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Allard.
Thank you, and through the chair. I wanted to go back a little bit with what Representative Stapp had mentioned in regards to, let me look at my notes. You said you were getting applications now for the broadband department. Could you, and it took 2 years? Can you explain to me why it took 2 years just to even start collecting the applications?
Director.
Yes. Through the chair, Representative Allard, I may have to get some of this information back to you about the activities, but what I would say is it's a brand-new program for the agency that we set up 2 years ago, and it was a brand-new program from the federal level, so there have been numerous federal revisions. I mean, we have been actively working on developing that plan, making sure that it was that we had the mapping, that we had the data collection, that we had the kind of framework that we need to appropriately evaluate the grant applications once they're in during that time period. But I'm also happy to get a short summary of the activities that they've been doing for the last 2 years.
That would be great. Can I do a quick follow-up?
Of course, follow-up.
So maybe it's on a different slide. How many, and if so, that's fine, I'll wait. How many vacancies do we have overall in the entire department right now?
Director.
Please.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Allard, I don't have that number with me, and it's not in the presentation, but I'm happy to follow up with that information. I know we just provided some information through the Office of Management and Budget as well, so we can get that to you.
And if I could, through the chair, Representative Allard, this is Commissioner Sandy. So a big part of that time frame, we were really working with not only the stakeholders, but also the mapping portion of this. So this is a federal program, so all of the states are sort of working side by side. I know that one of our applications in the process was one of the very first received. So our team has been quite responsive as we get information from the federal side of things to present what we are doing here in the state and meet those requirements. But one of them that was very sort of unique to Alaska was the mapping component. So we had to demonstrate across the state where unserved and underserved locations were. And once we got that information from the Fed side of where what they perceived to be unserved and underserved, then we had an opportunity to allow communities to weigh in on and provide essentially rebuttals on that map. It may look like it's served, but it's not served. And so it misrepresented information, again, not because it was being measured by people that weren't from the state. So our broadband division was able to do that, and I think in a very, very thorough way. And the beautiful piece for that was, especially in rural Alaska, how important that was to make sure that our mapping was right. And so we concentrated a lot of our time and effort on making sure that the folks that were, especially in rural Alaska, were represented through this mapping process, which didn't typically, you know, a river in Alaska isn't the same necessarily as a river in the rest of the United States because of the challenges that might have with weather and barges and things like that. So we wanted to be very careful and thorough on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. And through the chair, thank you, Commissioner, for being here and providing this information, specifically with the broadband office and these BEAD grants that are going out. Was there any kind of requirement in those grants to demonstrate the ability to maintain that infrastructure once deployed?
Commissioner.
Through the chair, Representative Bynum, thanks for that question. I definitely would need to defer to our director, Thomas Lochner, on that to get more information to you. Thank you, though.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, slide 13, banking and securities.
Thank you. Our Division of Banking and Securities helps to regulate our financial industries in the state, and this is what you see from a lot of them. Many of our core divisions really underpin that economic framework in the state to just make sure that things work for Alaskans. So we don't have any significant budget changes to highlight for them this year, but I didn't want to leave them out because I just wanted to call out that they put $18 million into the general fund last year. So we have a number of different revenue-generating sources.
Okay. Slide 14.
Perfect. So this is the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. This division does so much for our department. As I mentioned, they are where our grant administrators for the broadband office are. That is one of their primary functions, is to administer grants under a wide variety of programs. They currently have a portfolio of about $1.2 billion. Once we roll broadband in, that's going to nearly double to $2.2 billion. But what I wanted to call out on this slide, in their operating budget, they have a couple of grants that are kind of baked into the base budget. And so you won't see transactions for them. You won't see them as legislative grants in the capital budget. They are already included. And so I just wanted to make sure that those were listed out for full transparency. There are two that have budget transactions associated with them where we are adjusting them to reflect what they're going to look like in fiscal year 2026. Those are marked with the asterisks.
Representative Allard?
Thank you. Can we go back to the previous slide? Super. So can you give me some examples of what these grants do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Allard, the Alaska Legal Services Corporation provides low-cost legal services to people with limited means. The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association provides maritime education to fishermen and their families. The Inter-Island Ferry Authority, that is to help provide services between Ketchikan, and I should know the other end of that as I'm sitting next to a Ketchikan lady.
Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales, thank you. The Life Alaska Donor Services does donor awareness activities for organ donations. The Kuskokwim Ice Road is an ice road, and the Volunteers of America Alaska is for an Anchorage. It's an Anchorage grant, but I would have to look up what the secret of that was.
May I?
Yes, follow
thank
up.
You. I know what those are because I could read that. I want actually specific what they do. So if we're going to look at Volunteers of America Alaska, I want to know more detail of what these grants actually work and do. I want to make sure that I know who's getting paid, who's getting money for it, where it's going, down to the core of why we're funding these and that much money going to all these grants. I know it's going to be a little bit of a process, and I know that if we can get that information, it's more of a presentation, and I want more detail on the money.
I might be able to help with the last one.
I know that one, too. Oh,
that's in your neighborhood.
Well, yeah, I do. I went to visit them. I almost...
And for the record, we're talking about Volunteers of America.
Yeah, I almost cut them out of the budget last year, and then I went and had the pleasure of meeting them.
Okay.
So I'm grateful that amendment actually didn't pass, but...
So do you still want the department to find down to the person?
Yeah, I just trying to figure out more a little bit more detail on their mission. If you can help me with that, and privately is fine, just a little bit more.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Through the chair, I'm happy to follow up with you afterwards with more information on that grant. I would say all of these are that one was added last year as a temporary increment, and so it will be in. It was in fiscal year 2025 and fiscal year 2026 as a legislative addition.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Jimmy Van Johnson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, and through the chair. I see that you have Native Village of Napaim, the Kuskokwim Ice Road here, and it's being funded with a grant. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Jimmy, yes, that's correct.
Follow.
Wouldn't it make more sense to have it in the Department of Transportation budget yearly instead of through a grant?
Director?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Jimmy, you know, I don't know that I can speak to exactly how the Department of Transportation would administer it. From our perspective, we give that funding as a grant to the Native Village, so they get to then administer it and manage the project themselves. I don't know if that's the same way that DOT would administer it.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to... notice your QR code there, and it says view the grants dashboard. I was wondering if I don't have my phone to click on that, if you would, since it's prominent on your screen there, tell us what that does and where it takes you to. Maybe there's information that we all could get just from that.
Director or Commissioner.
Representative or Chair Josephson, through the chair, thank you. Representative Dawson, thank you for asking that question. Part of the reason the QR code is on the slide is because in every presentation I was bragging about it so much, I finally said somebody needs to order me a T-shirt with just like the QR code on it, because I love that. I'm a visual person. So for me, I love the idea of any Alaskan being able to hit that and be able to see the number of grants that are live. And then if you hit that again, you can see what communities those are in, and then hit it again, and it'll show you a map of that village or that community in Alaska, and it'll show you opportunity zones. So from that, you can... It sort of is a draw to go to the community database online, because I think it's a resource in Alaska that I don't think we're doing enough to help market the work that our team is doing and trying to consolidate the information that we have and trying to get it out to others. So we'll partner, of course, with our marketing initiative, but that's really, frankly, one of the things that helped inspire me to that. So if you have an opportunity, please do hit that QR code.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you. And if I could just add on, this is Hannah Lager for the record. Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Representative Johnson, the other thing I would say that's very cool is for all of the grants that we administer that are still active, when you go there, you can see everything that's still out there. You can see everything that's been expended from it. And it is live and current as of, I believe, it's at least a daily run. So it's a very neat resource that we have available on the website.
Very good. It looks like it looked like there's 740 some grants that you could take a closer look at. So anyway, thank you.
Okay, slide 15.
Thank you. So this is the Division of Community and Regional Affairs budget snapshot. In DCRA, the budget changes in 26 are a couple of fairly technical items to reflect the current year funding for the Alaska Legal Services Corporation and the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association. One of those is funded based on a percentage formula, and so we have to do a little tweak to it every year. And on the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, we've been doing some funding corrections to make sure that we have the revenue in the bank to make it more predictable for the grantee. We are also adding a fiscal note that wasn't included in the fiscal year 2025 budget due to just timing issues at the end of session. You'll see there's a few of these throughout our budget that there was a lot of pieces of legislation moving towards the end of the year, and a couple of fiscal notes didn't quite make it in. The last item on here is actually not in our budget. It is in the statewide items, but it's certainly of interest as it relates to community and regional affairs since they administer the funding. Mm-hmm. So the budget does include $30 million to capitalize the Community Assistance Fund in fiscal year 2026, which will then fund fiscal year 2027 distributions to communities.
Okay. Slide 16.
Thank you. The Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing manages the administration of 44 different professional licensing programs, 21 regulatory boards, all business licensing and nicotine endorsements. They do corporations registration. This is the division that I think most Alaskans interact with the most frequently. They touch the most people in the state. The thing that I would call out on this slide is really just that our professional licensing numbers continue to increase every year. We're up 55% in the last 10 years, significant growth in that area. And they are a very busy division, but happy to move on to the next slide, which is their actual budget.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out and maybe ask you to reiterate what was going on with the pretty huge influx in the amount of business and professional corporation licenses between 2020 and 2022. And if it had something related to the pandemic, I imagine it did. And if you could also maybe share why then we're now tapering off, it seems like, in terms of the growth there in recent years.
Yeah, thank you.
Director.
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, that is a great call out on this slide. So the business licensing program is certainly where you see that largest change. During the pandemic, we suspended licensing fees for that program. So you could just go get a business license. You can get business licenses for 1 year or for 2 years. Many people opted to get 2 years. We don't have a significant amount of data on why people aren't renewing, but we expect that a number of those licenses were purchased for free during the pandemic and then did not renew. And so that's why we're seeing that downward trend on the other end. I think on the corporation side, there is that little bump, that little gray bump, and that also had registration fees suspended for them for a little bit. Professional licensing, we just have continued to see growth. You know, we are seeing a little bit of a dip in fiscal year 2024, and I'm sure that a fair amount of that was professionals who were coming in and moving around. We had a large number of traveling nurses during the pandemic, things like that, that had to get registered. But I don't think that's a really significant drop in 2024, but we are just seeing more activity there.
Follow-up. Is there any particular industry that you want to highlight that you have seen major growth or major decrease? Just an overview if you have any of that.
Commissioner.
Off the top of head.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Galvin. Certainly we saw and continue to see growth in nurses for the state. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the value for the nurse licensure compact. And one of those is, you know, when I was hired into this role, one of the things that the governor first highlighted to me as an absolute critical need for improvement was our licensing times. And as a business owner, I certainly recognize that. But also as a healthcare provider in the community, I considered myself to be a super user of nurses and CNAs in the community and was well acquainted with the frustration in the timeline it took, especially when you were working overtime because you didn't have enough people on the call-out list and you're desperately trying to get more folks on the on your roster. So I was well aware of that when I started in the role, and we're very proud of the improvement that our team has made since that time. I think when I was first when I first started a few years ago, that number was up, and I think I met with some of you in your offices, and you highlighted to me what you were hearing from your constituents about how that wait time was 13 or 14 weeks. We have that time, I believe, now just over 4 weeks. While it's not perfect yet, we've made great strides, but we're also really being honest about recognizing our limits. And so in terms of the team that we have now and our ability to continue to provide improvement, we really recognize that much greater investment would need to be taken. And the reality is our Nurse Licensure Compact is a great opportunity because our team spends 30% of their time licensing nurses. And so if we were able to join the compact, theoretically, we anticipate we would be able to take that time and redirect it to other other industries and other sectors. So, for instance, you know, there's a big crunch time to get contractors licensed and out the door in time to meet the need for the contracting and construction season in Alaska. And so we don't want to miss one opportunity to get that license out the door faster. It helps businesses. It helps our economy. But at the same time, we have about 30% of our team is tied up with licensing nurses. And so that's time that we would be able to redirect.
Thank you.
Representative Allard.
Thank you. I'm through the chair. I have a couple questions. I'm going to circle back around on something, but you just brought up, Commissioner, in regards to licensing, but you hit on the nurses. So my question is, so we have a lot of military spouses up here, and why is it such a hard thing to get the military spouses compact? And I know you're going to say, well, that's policy, it's legislators, they have to figure it out. But have you worked on trying to figure out how we can't get those military spouses where they come across the other states, because it's not like being a lawyer where we have different laws. These are nurses and we are in desperate need of them. What is the holdup, do you believe, that we can't get that through you guys?
Commissioner.
Through the chair, Representative Allard, thank you for that question. I'll have to defer to the Hannah Lager to see if she has the specifics. I've been in conversations about this very subject matter, but to be completely honest, I can't recall where it is now in terms of the solution.
Okay. No. Director Lager.
Through the chair, I think we would be happy to follow up with you on that topic.
Okay. And then can I just do one more follow-up, please, Coach?
Yes, follow-up.
Thank you. So we talked about a little bit about vacancies. You said you'd have to get the numbers, and this might be unconventional. I'm just trying to find out why it's so difficult when commissioners, DCs come in front of us as a committee, and you just don't have that number. And I say that because it seems to me every department, well, I have to get back to you. I got to be honest with you. If I was the DC or the commissioner, I would just know that number because I have a really strong feeling that maybe those numbers aren't given to us because those vacancy dollars are being used on other areas of your department. And so I want that on public record. Do you have the ability to do a lifeline to get that vacancy number on the record, please?
Through the chair, we don't have any lifelines online with us today, unfortunately. But what I would say is we can certainly pull that information and get it to you. It's a moving target day by day, so we always have to rely on a point in time. And
May I just one quick follow-up, please?
Yes, and before we adjourn, if someone finds the answer, we'll talk about it.
Thank you. I'm sure
Representative Allard.
Thank you. I'm sure you probably have. I mean, some departments have told me they have 56 vacancies. So, and that's only that they've been vacant in the last 12 months. So I'm sure you probably have more than that. And I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I am, again, trying to find out how many vacancies you have, how long they haven't been filled, whether it's 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, or 4 years, and what are you doing with those funds that you're receiving and you're crossing and allocating them for different things? Because I want to cut. And I know everybody else in the state wants to cut. So if you're not filling those vacancies, but you're using those funds for something else, I think the public needs to know.
Director? How long have you been with the state of Alaska?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been with the state 18 years. I've been with the department just over 10.
Am I correct that typically those dollars lapse to the general fund?
To the chair, it depends on the source, but what I would say is our personal services line is never fully funded. We have what we call a vacancy factor built in where we expect at any given point some vacancies to occur because life happens for people and they move on and we hire people and it takes a little bit of time to get them filled. So our personal services line is never fully funded in any given year.
But am I right that if there are an unusual number of vacancies, dollars typically lapse into the general fund? Is that your understanding of how the way the state of Alaska works?
Yes. To the chair, any general funds that we have that we would not spend would go to the general fund.
Commissioner Sandy, did you have a comment?
Yes. Through the chair, thank you. Representative Allard, I appreciate those questions, and we are happy to get back to you. And I just want to compliment my team because I think the team works very, very hard. And the number of specific things that we're trying to be prepared to answer at any given day while we're testifying, especially under the Department of Commerce, you know, I've always said it's an area that I don't think I'll ever totally feel comfortable because within this department with the number of different divisions and corporations under us, I do feel like I'm about an inch deep and about a mile wide on anything, but I take full responsibility for that, and I want to compliment my team on being as prepared as they are. With regard to your specific questions, we will get back to you, but it is quite complex, and one of the things I'll bring up to you is it's less about not trying to answer a question and a lot more about how complex that question is. So for instance, we were working really hard on making sure, and I have to check to see what we're budgeted for. So if it's 7% or 10% of a vacancy rate, but when I first started, we were coming right out of the pandemic, and as a business owner, I sort of considered it to be the death spiral, right? So we had seen a spike 60% over 10 years in volume of work for a specific division. At the same time, we didn't add any positions to that. So if I'm a range 14 employee and I'm looking across the hall at another department, I can see, well, first of all, it appears that range 14 employee over there has a lot better job satisfaction than I do because at this point I'm getting underwater, right? So there's people that are calling out sick or folks that aren't there or who are quitting and taking other range 16 or 14 jobs in the state. And so our pool was shrinking. I think staff morale was really low. People were frustrated. So I was very proud of the team and the way we were able to rebound after the pandemic and really get some stability in the department. At the same time, you were all very great at saying to me as I started as a brand new commissioner, you guys need to tell us what you need to be successful. So to your credit and to the governor's credit, I felt like I was very supportive in being able to come back to you guys and say, this is what we need to fix the problem, and I appreciate that. So one of the things we identified is with a 60% increase over a certain number of years, we're going to need some more people on the team to do this body of work. So we had additional positions funded. So if you're calling out in a specific period of time what my vacancy rate is, it depends. So we demonstrated stability and that we were able to bring the vacancy rate down, and we were very proud of that. But then we added those additional positions. So if you would have pulled the data right after that, it would have showed that we had gone backwards, right? Because it just depends on when those additional positions hit. So I just want to call that out, that depending on the month, depending on what's going on, we are going to provide the information but also provide the explanation for what's going on. And the other piece to this is our corporate agency. So if I run my rate based on the core divisions, that's different than with my corporations. But when they run the numbers, they typically put them all together. And sometimes in the corporations especially, they're purposely holding positions. And if that's the case, that's going to skew our department's number. But, yes, we're happy to get you more specific information.
May I? Thank you. Through the chair. So the lapsing isn't the point. It's why should we pro-fund? So I appreciate your hard work, and I appreciate everybody and your staff's hard work, but I'm still not convinced about the funding and what those extra vacancy seats are doing. Those vacancies do have money carryover, and I want to know in detail where they're going. Thank you.
I'm not sure what you mean by, did you say pro-fund?
Like, we're going to fund forward. Why would we fund forward if we don't know what's going on with the vacancies?
All right. Representative Galvin, you had a question. All right. Let's go on to slide 17.
Excellent. Thank you. This is Hannah Lager for the record. In corporations, business, and professional licensing, we're making just two significant changes in fiscal year 2026. CBPL, with their large number of licensing programs, is one of our larger consumers of regulations review services from the Department of Law. Their rate changed going into 2025, and so we are adding licensing receipt authority to make sure that we can pay that bill in 2026.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that, you know, I've watched a number of presentations from you all over the years, and you must have some way to do good retention because you have – I just want to say that I always am really impressed with DCCED and when they come before us and how, you know, the longevity of the people that have been in the department and how much you really know about what's really going on there. I mean, I know you're not a huge department. I mean, you probably oversee more money than any other department in the state almost. But anyway, I saw your director, Rob, picture up there, and I know oftentimes she's here before us, but I'm always impressed with the knowledge that you do bring, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Rip Johnson. So slide 17.
Perfect. So the second item on here is adding a fiscal note that wasn't included at the end of fiscal year 2025 in the budget. So that's for professional counselors, funding to enact that legislative change.
Slide 18.
Great. On to the Division of Insurance. This team is working to regulate the insurance market as well as look for ways to continue to improve that market and cut costs to consumers. They also are a very large contributor to the general fund. This is the insurance premium tax that Representative Stapp mentioned earlier is collected in this division.
Yes, Representative Johnson.
Okay. Well, I can't not say something about how wonderful Director Wingheier is when I saw her picture up on the screen. So, well, enough of that. But I wanted to just add to that. Thanks,
Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair Josephson, and Representative Johnson, I appreciate you calling her out. In particular this week, you know, Lori's been very, very busy. But I will say, whenever I see her picture, I think to myself, I wish other Alaskans knew what she was really responsible for helping to save Alaskans. I know she's under fire a lot. In particular right now, we're hearing from businesses on what she can magically do if we only have one insurance company in the state offering in that particular area. But her knowledge base is incredible. And through our 1332 waiver program, I believe she's been able to save the state of Alaska, I think, $700 million. And I'm always challenged, and I say this because I'm actually curious, if there's another Alaskan that we can point to that's really been instrumental in helping to save $700 million. And if so, I would love to meet them. Thank you.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, and through the chair. This is just a question on the second bullet point. It says maintain contractual actuarial support multi-year. So I'm wondering if there's a dollar figure to that and how many years is that? And it's a little fuzzy to me.
Yep, absolutely. Through the chair to Representative Galvin, what we're requesting is $1 million over 2 years from licensing receipts. And this mirrors the same structure that we've had for many previous years. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we are recruiting for an actuary. If anyone knows a great actuary who wants to come work for the state, we would love to talk to them. In the meantime, we're getting that actuarial support through contracts, which are more expensive than having positions. And also variable as far as timing for cost. So we have that multi-year and we have them overlapping so that we can pay about $1 million in a year, but depending on when the bill comes in, we make sure that we have the money to be able to pay it.
Thank you.
Okay. Slide 19.
Great. On to our divisions of investments. They don't have any significant budget change this year, but again, wanted to make sure we mentioned the great things they do for Alaskans. They really administer a number of different small loan programs that help facilitate projects all over the state, everything from fishing permits and boat gear to small restaurant businesses, forest products, things like that. And so we've got a lot of different programs. If anybody's interested in hearing about them, we have them all on our website, and they touch a lot of Alaskans.
Okay, slide 21.
Great. This gets into our corporate and quasi-judicial agencies, which we've kind of grouped towards the end. The first one up here is the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, which regulates alcohol and marijuana industries in Alaska. They are almost exclusively funded by licensing receipts from those two industries. So in fiscal year 2026, we have a similar item to what we saw before in two other agencies, which is regulations review costs, just lining up their authority so that they can pay that bill. They also have increased licensing receipts for legal costs related to the Department of Law and Office of Administrative Hearings. They've just seen significant increases in volume there and want to make sure that we have enough to pay that. And then the other thing I'm very excited to say is we're revising our carry-forward language for them this year to make sure that those licensing receipts stay with the program. We had some specialized carry-forward language for them over the last couple of years to make sure that they could repay the initial general fund investment in the marijuana program. That has been accomplished by the end of fiscal year 2024, which we're very pleased to say that that has been done. And now we're going to make sure that those licensing receipts for marijuana businesses stay with those with the program.
Slide 22.
This is the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which is responsible for balancing the kind of competing demands of oil production and protecting total ultimate recovery in the long term. They do this as a quasi-judicial agency. And in 2026, they have been successful in identifying different capital funding for both orphaned wells. They have a kind of normal grant that funds their operations as well. And there's going to be additional federal funding coming in for carbon. So we're adding a little bit of federal receipts in their operating budget to just align with their projected costs for those grant awards. And we also have general fund here for the carbon storage work. As I mentioned earlier, that is a complex regulatory program. We are working on obtaining primacy over the program from the federal government. That work is taking a little bit longer than what we initially estimated in the fiscal note, and so we're looking for that general fund to continue one more year, and then we are planning for revenue from those projects to be coming in through that permitting process starting in fiscal year 2027.
Slide 23.
Slide 23 is the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Which every year I feel like I learn a new thing about what the Regulatory Commission of Alaska does. In the fiscal year 2026 budget, the only item for them is adding a fiscal note that wasn't included in the operating budget. They had competing fiscal notes, and as legislation was combined, not all of the fiscal notes got included.
Okay. And 24.
Great. This is the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation. In their operating budget, we're just requesting to continue them at the same level as fiscal year 2025. There is project activity for them in the capital budget, but in the operating budget, status quo for them.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if we could, just speaking to the ADDC, and there's been a lot of discussion about potential funding for a gas line and not necessarily through the ADDC or, you know, the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, but maybe direct funding or so on and so forth, but or maybe, you know, ADA. And I guess I was, and I know that you have to be involved with that kind of conversation, but is this something that as we go through, if we get to that point and we go through a process where we have to have a like a separate entity that is set up, will that require any additional funds on your part, or would that just be something that would be set up outside of DCCED and then you would be like more of a pass-through grant authority or grant administrator for it? I'm just trying to kind of get my mind around how we might be, you know, what we might be looking at.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, Representative Johnson. You know, the mechanics of it, frankly, at a department level haven't been discussed. My understanding so far in conversations both with Frank and with Randy at ADA is that the funding, if funding is provided through ADA, that funding is standalone and separate from DCCED. So far there hasn't been any conversation about this being something that's really under the umbrella of our department.
Okay. All right. And just one follow-up.
Yes,
would
follow-up.
Be, thank you. So the follow-up, I guess, would be, and I don't expect you to necessarily be able to just know immediately, but I guess I'm trying to think if we had federal funds that come into the state for that project, is ADA an individual organization enough that is that I mean can they just receive and use federal funds, or is that something that we would have to, and I know that that's a lot of what-ifs in there, and there might be caveats from the federal, because they haven't even gotten to the point of doing that funding yet. But I guess I'm trying to just kind of think about what we may be looking at as far as organization to, make sure it's that we're not caught unawares on something that might need to be set up, and if it took a little time to do that.
Comment. Commissioner.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson. Yeah, I appreciate that. I know that right now both of those teams are working in conjunction with Glen Farm as well, the developer on the project, and working through that the deal. There's the component of 8-STAR that's also there, and then whether or not Enbridge is involved in all of that. So it is quite complex. Off the top of my head, I can't think of ADA receiving federal funds. Much AEA, who was sort of a sister agency, they've been split apart, but AEA is one that does receive like a federal granting ability, but whereas I can't think of any with ADA, but we'll be working closely with both of those teams as we have been in figuring out whether or not there's something that we need to try to help with. Thus far, we haven't needed to do so.
Okay. Thank you. That makes sense.
Yeah. And thank you. If I could add through the chair, when the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation has received federal funds in the past, we've come forward for legislative authorization for those.
From Director, last comment from Director Lager.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We're on slide 25.
Great. Thank you. Again, for the record, this is Hannah Lager. In the Alaska Energy Authority, I wanted to include these boxes at the top. So last year, legislation allowed the Alaska Energy Authority to have their own position. So when you look in the budget books, there are a number of different changes in there. Most of those are very technical in nature as we move those positions between the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and into the Alaska Energy Authority. And so these four boxes on the top represent the Alaska Energy Authority's different operating components and just have a snapshot of the end result of all of those. So in our owned facilities, there wasn't a whole lot of change. They continue to manage our owned assets. So that's Bradley Lake and the Alaska Intertie. Rural Energy Assistance is where we landed most of the Alaska Energy Authority's core operations. That's where their director lives. That's where their program managers live. Power Cost Equalization continues to manage the annual distribution, as well as management and accounting costs in there. And then the Statewide Project Development, Alternative Energy, and Energy Efficiency component is where all of our federal positions for new federal programs landed. So that's where the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act positions and the Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnerships positions that were added in previous legislative sessions, that's where they are. So we've kind of separated the activity. As far as their fiscal year 2026 requests, they have three major ones in there. One is adding general funds to make sure that they can pay for rent. They share a facility with the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, and so that represents half of their actual costs in 2024, which we're projecting in 2026. The Alaska Energy Authority is going back through and looking at their federally approved cost allocation plan to work in those building costs. And so we don't expect for that to be a forever thing, but we do need it for at least a year. We're also adding $3.1 million in capital improvement project receipts. So that's what we call duplicate authority, again, to allow us to collect from capital projects where they have federal funds or other funds coming in capital, and then it funds the positions and operating. So it's more of a true-up to make sure that we can pay for all of our positions. And then there's a fund change of $710,000 from federal receipts to power cost equalization program funds to maintain the circuit rider program. So these positions were previously funded by the Denali Commission through federal grants, and that funding has declined over time. And so we need an alternative funding source for those.
Before I go to Representative Johnson, can you elaborate on the third one? You said something about the Denali Commission. So I'm asking you to repeat but also further explain this item.
Yes, absolutely, to the chair. So the Denali Commission previously provided federal funds for our circuit rider program, and those positions go out to communities. They assist with their powerhouses. They help make sure that things keep running. They are their power experts. That federal funding was available over the last, I think, 3 years. It started to pretty significantly decline from the $700,000 range down to $75,000. In the current fiscal year. So we've been making up that difference by kind of cobbling together funds from complementary projects where we could have them go out and work on one project that they also could get a little bit of other work done while they were out in a community based on, you know, whether it was bulk fuel or rural power systems upgrade capital funding. But as those capital projects have also kind of declined over time as less federal funding is available for those, it's not a sustainable plan to keep cobbling together the funding for them. So.
Has the department drawn any objection about this fund source change?
Thank you to the chair. We have not so far. Almost all of the communities that receive power cost equalization funds are also serviced by these positions, and so it is also beneficial to that program.
Okay. Co-chair Foster. Apologies, Rep. Johnson. Co-chair Foster, and we'll come to you after.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Co-chair, the waterfall. I know usually we've got excess funds in PCE each year, so you fully fund the program, all the communities get their assistance, and then whatever left over money there is, it can go to the waterfall. I assume that this must fall into one of the categories. Do you remember what the categories were for the waterfall?
Yes. To the co-chair, this would be part of the waterfall. I cannot reference the statute for that off the top of my head, but this would be considered part of the program operations that gets – it's the first part that gets taken out of the available funding.
And I know that when there's thank you, Paula. When there's excess funding, it's I know that some funds can go to rural renewable energy. Some funds can go to – I think it was you mentioned the rural upgrades maybe or something like that, and I think this must fall within those categories. So thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was thinking that I heard somewhere that perhaps the energy, the power, the charging stations, the grant money from the federal government for charging stations and potentially the DC transmission line from the Kenai had been at least paused, if not changed in some way. And so while I don't know that I would expect you to know all the details on that, I was wondering if you could speak to that and also perhaps just, you know, how much of a scramble have you had to perform in the last few weeks?
Director Hager.
On federal Lager. Monies.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair to Representative Johnson, thank you for that question. I would say I think Director Thayer has probably been a little bit like a duck, smooth on the surface and running under the water as he responds to these things. I know that you are absolutely correct. Our electric vehicle infrastructure funding is impacted at this point. I don't believe either of those projects are moving forward. The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act funding is on a temporary pause, as well as we have some Inflation Reduction Act funding in there that is on a temporary pause. At this point, we don't think, I haven't heard that the line is impacted for the, that's the HVDC, and I could not actually tell you what that acronym stands for. I apologize. High voltage direct something. That line I don't believe is impacted.
Okay. Slide 26.
Thank you. This is the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. So as I mentioned, they are co-located with the Alaska Energy Authority. Legislation last year separated those positions. So you will also see in your budget books a number of different very technical transactions moving those positions over. You'll also see in 2026, we had what we call duplicate authority, again, in the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. As they had the positions, AEA had to pay them for those services. So when we moved the positions back over to AEA, we got to delete that authority. So the largest change there is there's about an $8.9 million in duplicated receipts that gets deleted from AIDA's budget in 26. And then we're also adding authority to receive that rent from the Alaska Energy Authority, and we're adding $110,000 in AIDA receipts, that's investment earnings, to align the total component costs with their projected expenditures. And this relates to intent language as well as statutory requirements to really show what it costs to operate buildings in those building components. And so we're just making sure that that's very transparent and aligned in the budget.
And slide 27.
Great. Slide 27 is our seafood marketing arm. This is the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. For them in 2026, there really are two changes. One is adding $10 million for continued seafood marketing. That's a multi-year appropriation over 3 years, starting in 2025. Coupled with that, in the 26 budget, we are reducing their appropriated seafood marketing assessment receipts. So as we discussed earlier, their revenue is declining over time, and so in recognition of those declining receipts, you know, as the seafood industry struggles, less of that seafood assessment money comes in. So those two things together will help them maintain a fairly steady program over the next 3 years as they plan for what marketing looks like.
And ideally, the legislature would pass that increase soon, so that some could be spent in FY25. Is that the administration's wish?
To the chair, yes. We do have that in as a supplemental item for fiscal year 2025, which will really, they do a lot of their marketing activity through the spring, the planning for what things are going to look like over the year. And so the sooner we can let them know they can include that in their plan, the better deal they can get on those marketing contracts.
Okay. All right. We've learned a lot about this very varied department. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Josephson. I actually don't have a question, but I have a comment inspired by my colleague from Palmer.
Please,
which
give us
is,
some inspiration.
Yeah, and because we've got a ref from basketball, he'll appreciate the fact that we've got a K-High grad and a Juno Douglas High School graduate who, when this commissioner came on, has done an extraordinary job of recruiting high-potential Alaskans to work on our team. And I know that when I first got elected, Ms. Lager is one of those people whose knowledge is trust. It's the fire hose, and although she referenced knowing a little bit about the regulatory commission, when I got elected, I knew nothing except for they regulated my utility bill. And the complexity of understanding anything within that section is immense. They do it with grace under pressure, calmness, and the K-High-JD rivalry that lives strong in their souls is never apparent when they are working as a team. And I just wanted to take the moment to say they are homegrown regional stars serving the state.
Do they pick the same teams for March Madness? Or we don't know.
Well, that I can't tell you. Okay. March Madness brings on a whole level of craziness in Alaska.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. I'd like to thank Commissioner Sandy, Administrative Services Director Hannah Lager, for their presentation today. This concludes our FY, importantly, progress. This concludes our FY26 departmental operating budget overviews in House Finance. I'd like to thank the administration for coordinating with this committee on testimony. Your transparency on the public record is essential to the legislature's appropriations process. Thank you. Our next scheduled House Finance Committee meeting is tomorrow, March 5th at 1:30. At that meeting, we will hear the Legislative Finance Division present a 3-year budget outlook. So with that, we will adjourn today's meeting at 2:48.